So we're at the end of our series on the CREATE laws. And so each, if you've been tracking with us these last 6 weeks or so, each week has been a different law that is part of the co-creating our life that Lolo just beautifully sang, idea that is our third principle in unity. And so we're at the E, the final E, which is the law of expression. And the law of expression goes like this. When I open to spirit and authentically express from my soul, spirit is revealed on earth. Yeah. And you can use whatever term, you know, don't ever let the terms get in the way, right? God, spirit, source, divine, whatever you use, substitute that. Don't let that get in the way of something that can be helpful to us. So the law of expression is this idea, and we're going to break this down a little bit today and get into it a little bit more as we consider all the ways that we have just observed, witnessed creation happening at the same time, expression happening at the same time. When we authentically express from our souls, there is that unique expression that comes forth, and it is fun when we do that. It's freeing when we do that. You know the times that you have been in the midst of something creative and you've lost all sense of time? Anybody ever do that? Linear time? Yeah, we're out of Kronos and into Kairos time, right? The infinite now is just moving through us. And so what's so beautiful about this law is it is a process of receiving from spirit, right? So there's a communication that happens there of receiving something, guidance, a nudge, a direction, an idea. And then there is a sense of flowing out from there and expressing from there whatever it is that we have been, that idea or that nudge that has happened for us. So we get into that divine flow, like Kathy's dance, where it's just like she told me beforehand, dance like nobody's watching, right? And then if people happen to be watching, they get blessed too. But if they don't happen to be watching, you're still in that flow. You're still in that law of expression, right? When I view Bob's art, I feel like I get to know him on a much deeper level than I might even in a conversation. Like last week, he was our speaker, and some of you were here, and he often shares one of his paintings when he talks, and he showed one of his paintings. And I learned so much by seeing that painting. There was a naked man, he identified as himself, who was guiding a boat, and he was standing on rocky ground on the bank of that river. And you could see that where the boat was headed, it was very hopeful. It was very smooth. The waters ahead were smooth. And then he said, as he was painting, and this is the way it works for him, a vision will come of what's next. And so there was this transparent hand that came that was guiding the boat from behind. And it showed me so much about both the struggle and the challenge and what he's going through to move into his retirement, that boat, that life, but the hopefulness that it is headed down smoother waters, right? And then the hand said something about his faith, that there is a belief, that there is a guiding hand, a guiding, if you will, a guiding presence that is going to make it all helpful and hopeful and possible. And easy, perhaps, and more graceful than he might have imagined. So much in somebody's expression that we can discern because it comes from this very deep and sacred place. That's what art is like, right? Years ago, I worked in a PR firm, and I might have been assigned to the wrong section, but I was in the account exec group, and there were the creatives, and we'd all get together in meetings, and the creatives would pitch their ideas. And the account execs kind of had this idea that the creatives were awfully sensitive. Redirection was not taken easily, or you know, feedback. And so, but, I get it more and more on the spiritual journey because it is so sacred to offer something from our soul. It is such a gift to the world out of the invisible realm and into the visibility, something that came from spirit. What could be more seemingly private, yet meant to be revealed upon the earth? So what a great thing it is when we create, when we co-create, when we express ourselves. And this particular law is really an enactment of all of the laws. It's the fifth of our Unity Basic Principles, the last of the paintings there, that shows, you know, what is it about when we get to the end of it all? It's one thing to understand that there is an allness of God, that there is an I am within us, that our lives are about a co-creating experience, and that our practices, prayer and meditation. It's fine to understand those things. It's fine to sit around and talk about those things, but it doesn't put it into practice until we put it into practice, until we put ourselves into it, until we enact the law of expression that says, I've come here to this planet, I have this lifetime, this one precious lifetime that's going by really fast, isn't it? Whew, I can't believe how fast it goes. And it's like, I've got this precious time on earth, and I've been called, each one of us, we've been called, we've been asked, we've been invited, we said yes to be here now in this amazing time period where things are changing and emerging in the world at a very also fast pace. And the chaos we see is just a reactivity to that. But we are moving forward in a direction, and you were asked to be here at this time, not to just sit around and talk principle, not to just learn principle or get a theology around it, and not to even just be able to articulate it, but to be able to walk the talk, to be able to express it, to be able to embody it, to be able to be it in the world. That's the call that we're up to. So the law of expression is absolutely essential to make it all come together. You could say in a way that when we're doing this co-creative expression, that we are in a process of channeling. It's a channeling of spirit, right? It comes to us, it comes through us, and it becomes as us in the world. And so channeling, that word sometimes for people is a little too woo-woo, right? Yet, I think about years ago when one of the higher-ups at Unity Village said, we need to take all the channeled material out of the Unity bookstore at Unity Village because it's not Unity. And so one of the bookstore staff got really busy taking all the Bibles off the shelves. Huh. You know, sometimes it's like as if we think the world's scriptures ended all inspiration for humankind, right? Well, it was written in the holy book, and that's it. No more inspiration for us the rest of our lifetimes, right? And all the generations to come. We, of course, know that is not so. That we are constantly being inspired. We are constantly receiving information from Spirit. We are really being bombarded with Spirit saying, go there, do that, say that, make that, bridge that relationship. Create that relationship. Come together. Make something together. Do something for the earth. Do something for each other. Do something for the people who don't have a place to live. Do something for the people who are hungry. Do something about making the water cleaner and purer. We have no lack of things to do, right? We could express all day long, right? But there is that knock on our hearts all the time, isn't there? And it's not to overwhelm us, it's to say, because that thing that is yours to do is pure joy. That thing that is yours to do is not arduous. It's not a boulder up a hill. If it is, it's probably not yours to do. It's the thing that brings you joy. It's the thing that makes your heart sing. It's the thing that you cannot not do. You know those things? You cannot not do that. Because it fills you up so much, because you know you so much were called to do it, because you know it's partly what you were put on earth at this time to do. And it can be anything. Planting something, making something for someone or for yourself. You know, it doesn't, I think a lot of times when we speak in spirituality, we speak in these like large ways and we use these examples from the great teachers of Jesus and Buddha or the, you know, the contemporaries like Nelson Mandela and Gandhi and so on. And then we all kind of go, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'm up for that task, you know. But yet if we do us, if we do what it is that it is our soul to do, then something magnificent is given to the world that was meant to be given to the world, a great gift that only you can give. That's what expression is about. So it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to receive and to pay attention to spirit and then to give over that thing that we have been asked to do or to give. The highest purpose of this law of expression is that it reveals more of spirit on earth. So if you think about, you know, not having the gift of a body and being a spirit, sometimes that sounds really fun. Like, woo, I could fly around and be free, right? I wouldn't have to deal with going to the doctor or any of that stuff, right? Yet, think about it from your spirit's side of a point of view. Man, wouldn't it be great to have a body? I could actually touch that person and tell them how much I love them through touch. Or I could actually put my hands around something and make something. Or I could look into somebody's eyes. Or I could know that I was audibly heard. You know, so it's those gifts that we have that come with the body that is really quite amazing that we get the physicality and the spirituality. It's like we got a double dose of goodness to express with. And so why sit on our laurels and not use it? So there is so much good that is for you to give. And because we have these bodies, there's ways to give it that are audible, that are visible, that are tactile, that are aromatic, and even tasteable. Did anybody ever see the movie or read the book Like Water for Chocolate? Lots of you. Good. Both services. That's a popular movie for us. So in the movie, just to remind you, or the book, it's set in Mexico, and Tita is a young woman, the youngest of the kids, who's born in the kitchen. And the father dies pretty soon after, pretty early in her life. And so the mother says the rest of Tita's life, she's going to take care of the mother. And so she works alongside somebody who's hired to work in the kitchen, and that's pretty much her life. When Tita falls in love with Pedro, she can't get married to him because she's there to serve her mother and to work in the kitchen. Now, she could shut all her expression down, right? She could, well, you know, kind of go to that space, right, and draw within and not give anything to the world because she feels resentful. But that's not what she does. She channels everything into her food. She even, besides the delicious food that she makes with just real fresh ingredients, she also puts in her emotional ingredients. She adds her passion when she feels passionate, and her love when she feels loving, and her joy when she feels joyful, and her sadness when she feels sad. Tears actually fall into the pot while she's stirring it at one point. And when people eat Tita's food, it's not only delicious food, but they have an emotional reaction to taking in, to consuming the expression that she's put into it. They laugh, they cry, they vomit. It depends, you know. And it's not so much that they're just consuming her emotional expression, but what is arising in them is their own. And that's what happens when we bear witness to one another in our soulful expressions, is that it's not that we mimic each other, because it's not really possible for that to be authentic, right? But it brings forth something in us. It touches something in us. And that's what's the beauty of being able to share, to have the courage to share whatever it is that Spirit puts on our heart to do in the world, to express in the world, to give to the world. So in the finality of Tita's story, she bakes a cake for her sister's loveless wedding to Pedro, her beloved, and it reveals true love through that process. And that's really what we do when we express. We reveal true love on earth. We reveal the divine essence, which is really, after all, love, isn't it? So you have a unique, creative, soulful expression. Do you know what it is? Or what they are? Because it's probably many. Do you have a sense of that? It might have arisen for you out of circumstance or emotional response to circumstance. It might arise for you out of spiritual visions or callings of some kind. It might come out of just a heart's desire and a conscious choice to make it so. It doesn't really matter how it comes. It's just recognizing that it's coming from that one source, and it's coming to you is a gift for you to share. So expressions are unlimited, and anything can become sacred. Think about all the seemingly mundane things we do in a day. All of that can be infused as a sacred act, an expression of the one, a beautiful opportunity to clean a dish, to plant something. You know, all those things that we do throughout our days, to wash your own body, to shower, to share something with a friend. You know, all of those things are opportunities for us to show up in such a way that it is infused with the sacred. It's a recognition that expression is a gift and a privilege to be able to carry forth on Spirit's behalf, because Spirit doesn't have hands and hearts and eyes and minds except for yours. So what about if you could become the embodiment of a prayer or a passage or a poem that you love? Here's one that I love, that I would love to become more of. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. You might recognize this one, the prayer of St. Francis. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying to the egoic self that we are born to eternal life. What's yours to embody? What's your prayer to embody, to become, to express every day? Let it be the thing that you begin your day with, that you speak that prayer or poem out loud. You dance it, perhaps. You move to it. Maybe you set it to music. And maybe it's something that you just remind yourself of throughout the day, and help yourself shift in those ways that you want to be more of that, whatever it is that it calls you into. What will you do with your one wild and precious life, Mary Oliver says, to punctuate one of her famous poems. It's a question for all of us to sit with, to be with. And what is the, I'll say it again, because I think it's important for us to remember that it is that which brings you joy. It is meant to be easy and graceful and effortless. It's not about adding one more thing to do. We have enough of that, right? We have enough of that in our world and in our culture. It's not about that. In fact, it might be taking some of those things off your plate so that you can begin to do that thing that Spirit is truly calling you to do and to be and to become and to embody. So spiritual expressions are constantly being broadcast through humans and are constantly evolving to different ways of expression, new ways of expressions, different ways that Spirit is reaching us. One of those ways is light language. Some of you have heard me speak about it. Some of you experienced it recently at a workshop here. The first time I heard light language, it wasn't named that. I met Ida Risi Alit, the high priestess of Bali, in Bali. I took a group there. And the day that I met her, she began to speak a language none of us had ever heard before. I'm not sure that she had ever heard it when it started coming through her. And she just simply said, I think you will understand. And she began to speak it and sing it, and it was like being in the presence of pure light, angelic being. And so when I was introduced to light language again a few times recently, I realized, that's what that was. It's a new language. There are new languages. There are languages all over that are emerging upon our planet through different people, expressing sometimes in nonverbal ways and in verbal ways. And so Ida's story itself is a law of expression and action. When she was a young woman, she was wanting to go to college, and so she tried college out, but she was hitting roadblocks. It just didn't feel right. It wasn't working out. So she abandoned college, and she went to work. Same thing was happening. It just wasn't working for her. So she went to her uncle, who's a priest in Bali, and asked if he could help. And he conducted a ceremony to help her unveil her sacred purpose. During that ceremony, she went into such a deep meditation, she literally died. And then she came back to life. And when she came back to life, she knew languages she'd never heard before. She knew sacred Hindu mudras with her hands that she had never experienced or learned before. She knew chants. She knew sacred scriptures. She doesn't know where the knowledge came from, but suddenly she had it. And as much as all the male priests of Bali wanted to deny her gifts, they could not deny them. And I shouldn't say it that way. I'm not sure if they all wanted to deny her gifts. I think they were very surprised by her gifts, and the culture was such that they hadn't had a female high priestess for over 100 years. So it was new for the culture. But they put her to every test they could possibly put her to, and they finally ordained her at the age of 21 as the high priestess of Bali. Ida now expresses through water purification ceremonies, and she won't, I love this, I read an article about her, she said, I won't describe it as a product, so I can't tell you what you receive from it, everybody receives something differently. She just does what she was guided to do, without putting qualifiers on it, without marketing it, with all the benefits that you're going to receive by coming. She just does what she does. I think that's really pure and beautiful in a way. So Ida's been here a couple times. Some of you have met her over the years. And a few weeks ago, you also met Carrie Jihan Guadalupe, who was sharing a light language workshop with us. And when I've experienced Carrie and Ida and other people doing light language, something begins to awaken in me as well, and maybe in you too, as you experience these kinds of things. So don't be surprised if some kind of new expressions start coming through you and as you, or you feel guided to do certain things in new ways. Because part of what the law of expression is going to ask of you is courage, willingness, vulnerability, and action. So, are you willing? Willing to be vulnerable? Yeah. Willing to take action? Yeah. Me too. Me too. So who knows what's going to come for us? I'm excited to know. Because as we recognize that we are many, many channels from the one source, just like our prosperity teachings, there's many channels from the source, right, for our good. We are many channels from that source for the good that we bring forth on earth together. You know, when Jesus was sending his disciples out and they were going to go out all over the countryside on their own for the first time to heal, to teach, to preach, he gave them this word of advice. He said, proclaim as you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Proclaim as you go, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, as you go forth and work the law of expression, you bring forth heaven to earth. It's at hand. It gets closer. It becomes accessible to people. You are offering it to people. Through your expression, you are revealing spirit on earth. You are opening people to their own inspirations, their own expressions, their own truths. You are sharing with people in a way that gives them permission to open the doors of their own hearts and souls and to say, I can do this too because I am being called to. You fill in the blank, paint, dance, counsel, teach, tend wounds, whatever it is that you're being called to, whatever it is that is like deep down in your soul, something that maybe you've held for a long time, and for whatever reasons, because we get so practical in life that we just cover things up, right? But then there's that creative, soulful, essential nature inside of us that is just dying to get out, literally dying to get out. Free it. Free it. Let it go. Let it be known on earth because it is spirit asking you, please may I use your body, your hands, your eyes, your heart, your soul to be known on earth. Please will you open the door? I'm knocking at the door. Behold, I stand here and ask you, let me in and let me sit with you and eat with you. Let us consume together. Let us take in together this spiritual food so that you can be nourished and energized and fueled to do the things I am asking you to do. Can we be in that kind of partnership, co-creative partnerships? That's the C, the beginning of the Create Law series, that I am in co-creative partnership with Spirit. So, willing, vulnerable, ready to take action. Is that us? Yeah. All right, all right. Because I'm telling you, the world, I know this, like I know this in my bones. The world is so hungry for you. For you. Only you. Only you. You, 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 you. You know, it's like it's starving for the spiritual food and expression that only you can give through your own unique soul expression. Say yes. Say yes. You want to say it with me? Yes. All right. We're going to do this thing. We're going to satiate the hunger of the world. This sounds good, doesn't it? All right. Let's do it. I invite you to speak this affirmation with me together. I open to Spirit to authentically express my soul, and Spirit is revealed on earth. And so it is.